Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 413 for Thursday, October 15th, 2020. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and I'm going to need a list of things to denounce so that I don't end up against the wall. Or just ask Alex Jones for a job. I'm Morps! Tonight, that joke has, like, nothing to do with the rest of the news stories. Nothing at all. Don't read into it. Tonight, we have Mad Men. What's up, Mad Men?
I have scotch still. Much less than I did originally.
And are you?
Up.
So, I discovered today a grievous mistake that I had made months ago, but didn't get around to figuring out until today.
We're going to put you up against the wall?
Oh, God, no. Not for this, I hope. I happen to have a single-board computer called a Color Maximite. It runs BASIC. It's primarily meant to be a tinker's little single-board computer. You're not going to be setting this thing up as like a server, like a Raspberry or anything like that. But it's got GPIO on it, and it runs a version of BASIC. And it's just something to tinker around with, especially if you used 80s computers back in the day. It only has VGA out, which the couple of times I've hooked it up, I've just hooked it straight to a monitor, or it's worked fine. Well, today I thought I was going to run it into a screen capture device. And I remembered I had ordered a VGA to HDMI adapter. Well, it turns out those fucking things are super cheap, but they only work in one direction or the other. And I had the wrong one. I had one for hooking HDMI stuff up to a VGA monitor, which is very much a useless device. Because I've gotten rid of damn near everything that only has a VGA in it. It's like, why? And I go back and look at the Amazon description of what I ordered, which was at the beginning of the year. And it's like, oh yeah, in very small print at the bottom of the page. Yeah, which direction it goes. So I printed out some really big labels, like direction of signal and all this stuff, so I wouldn't make that same mistake with this device again and had to order a different one. One that I found the small text of which direction it went and made sure it was the right one. So we'll see whether or not it actually works when I get it. But, yeah, I was kind of disappointed in that because is my video card capture working? No, it's not working. Let me try hooking this up. I hooked it up to like three other things before I finally figured out the problem was the damned adapter. So I was going around with another board, hooking up to all my HDMI stuff, making sure it was still working. So, yeah, I wasted a good 2 hours on that today. Because it's not labeled at all on the device. It's,
the packaging probably just said adapter.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't even say that on the device. It's just like, how would you know this unless somebody bothered to, like, you know, do the old Sharpie trick or whatever to say what the fuck it is. So, but anyways, so, yeah, just kind of obnoxious. That and I had ordered some cartridge thermistors for 3D printers, because I'm like, oh, I'm redoing one of my machines. It's going to need one of these. Well, one, I go look at the machine. It's already got that kind of thermistor on it. Well, son of a bitch, that was a waste. So I go to open up the parts bin to put the cartridge thermistors, you know, away. Since I've got five more spares now. Fine, whatever. There's a box of them. It's like, son of a bitch. So I'm just.
You need a better inventory system.
I do. My parts bins need an inventory system quite badly, actually. So, it of course, they're cheap, right? It's like $10 for 5 of the things. And it's like, all right, well, I'll just order some because I know I'm going to need them. And, you know, it's like, oh, look, you have 100 of them. Son of a bitch. I've wasted $50 on thermistors. But, yeah. Oh, anyways.
Time to start reselling thermistors.
Yeah.
What type of markup? Mine comes with crack.
Not selling the Hunter Biden, are you?
Well, that'd be one way to do it.
Too soon?
No.
It's never too soon. Wait, what are these thermistors? Looks like you spelled it right. It's an electrical sensor you use with a microcontroller to get a... How would you describe it? You get a resistance value based that change. A thermistor is a resistor that changes based on temperature. So if you know what kind of thermistor they are, and these are simple 100K thermistors, you can know with a plus or minus range if you're getting a certain resistance value off that thermistor that it's reading a certain temperature. So it's the bit in a 3D printer that you use to see how hot the hot end and the bed are. That way, as opposed to just, you know, turning them on and hoping for the best, the CPU is actually reading a specific temperature and trying to hold it there. So, I'm not gonna dump them. They're worth keeping. Rats is asking questions in the IRC. I mean, they're worth keeping as spares because. Whenever you fuck up a hot end, usually the thermistor does not survive. Especially the old glass bead type. They just don't tend to survive. So they're worth keeping spares. But anyways. Well, anybody else have any anecdotes or bullshit before we move on?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. So, first article I have for tonight's from The Verge. The FCC will move to regulate social media after censorship outcry. And we have a follow-up story right after this from Daily Wire, which I fully acknowledge is a very right-wing source, but nobody else is talking about this right now, so it's worth.
Well, I think when you say no one else is talking about that, that's what we're talking about. Like the biggest story of the year has been memory hole.
Nobody's talking about it. Yeah, that's exactly why I want to talk about it. It's like the only place you can get it from are hyper-partisan sources, which one makes it really easy to dismiss, right? It's like, oh, it's just one side bitching, but especially with the election coming up, so. The story from The Verge here. On Thursday, Federal Communication Chairman Ajit Pai said that the agency will seek to regulate social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter at the behest of the Trump administration's executive order signed earlier this year. Members of all three branches of the federal government have expressed serious concerns about the prevailing interpretation of the immunity set forth in Section 230 of the Communications Act. There is bipartisan support in Congress to reform the law, Pai said in a statement Thursday. Social media companies have a First Amendment right to free speech, but they do not have a First Amendment right to a special immunity denied to other media outlets, such as newspapers and broadcasters. In May, President Donald Trump signed an executive order targeting tech companies like Facebook and Google and Section 230 of the Communications Act, the pivotal internet law that provides them broad legal immunity over content posted by their users. The order instructed the Commerce Department to draft a petition, prompting the FCC to reinterpret the law. The department submitted its petition to the FCC in July. On Thursday, Pai said the commission's general counsel said that the FCC has the legal authority to reinterpret Section 230. He continued, consent with this advice, I intend to move forward with a rulemaking to clarify its meaning. The FCC did not immediately respond to requests coming from The Verge seeking clarification of the rulemaking process. Quote, we're in the midst of an election. The president's executive order on Section 230 was a politically motivated and legally unsound, unquote, Democratic Commissioner Geoffrey Starks said in a statement to the Hill, or statement Thursday to the Hill. The FCC shouldn't do the president's bidding here. FCC is part of the executive branch.
Yeah, I mean, if they're saying they're not going to do the president's bidding, that's saying I'm not going to do my job. Now, if they think his orders are political, they might be, but are they legal? That's the question. And him saying, review this and see if they are acting as publishers or as platforms isn't a legal order.
So I'm more like tripping out over this guy's name. Joffrey Starks. You think his parents were into Game of Thrones? Well, I mean, timing's probably wrong for the age of the guy, but
I don't know. When were the books written?
They're not that
old. Okay.
Could I know it's worse. Been taking him forever to get them out.
Could have been worse. Could have been named after Harry Potter. Fucking character.
Dude, in 10 years, think how many kids you're going to be seeing throughout an education system named after characters in Harry Potter.
Oh, I already know no kids named after Harry Potter characters. Yeah. I've read their school reports.
I know your name's Dumbledore, but...
they have no wizardry.
You're a lizard, Harry. Anyways, let's see. The timing of it, this effort is absurd, unquote, Democrat Commissioner Jessica Rosenwald said in a statement, the FCC has no business being the president's speech police. PI's decision to move forward with rulemaking follows a series of moderation decisions on Wednesday made by Facebook and Twitter against a New York Post article regarding former President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, who has been the subject of political attacks from the right throughout the 2020 presidential election. Facebook reduced the reach of the story, saying that it was eligible for third-party fact-checking. Twitter went even further, banning leaking to the story entirely. In a thread Wednesday night, Twitter cited a 2018 rule against posting hacked information as justification for its decision. Okay. These moves from Facebook and Twitter incited a cry over conservative bias from Republicans. On Thursday, Republicans and Senate Judiciary Committee signaled that they would subpoena Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey to testify about the decision at a hearing on October 23rd. This is election interference. We're 19 days out from an election, Senator Ted Cruz said Thursday. Never before have we seen active censorship of a major press publication with serious allegations of corruption of one of the two candidates for president. So, first and foremost, at least for this discussion, when we do the next one from the Daily Wire, we can get into it. I don't really care if it's real, like if it's confirmed or real or not at the moment. I'm more concerned with the fact that enough people get their news from Facebook and Twitter alone, that if Facebook and Twitter decide that you can't read an article, that there's enough people who won't see it.
My main concern is that it came from an actual established, you know, quite a good history.
Yeah, this wasn't an overnight WordPress site.
No, this isn't
the oldest continuously published newspaper in the United States.
That's what I'm saying. It's not exactly coming from a a startup company out of somewhere, you know, like Jezebel or something like that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's my concern is that, well, now we've got to fact check that. No, you don't. They have rules, checks and balances because they are a news outlet. They can be sued for false stuff. These guys, can be verified.
Yeah. What's, saying it needs to be confirmed. I don't really have as much of a problem with that. The throttling it is where I have the problem.
Yeah.
Because a newspaper can publish something thinking it is correct and be wrong. Yeah. So if you want to argue that this story is wrong, that's fine. The problem is they're not allowing the story out.
Right. Wouldn't it be better if it was not true for the story to be disseminated and then be soundly debunked, right?
Exactly. And then have to put a retraction into their newspaper.
Rather than memory hole
over their history, They've made retractions. It's going to be hard to find them. It's generally past page 5 and in very small print, but newspapers have to publish retractions if they get it wrong. And we need other journalists to be digging through this instead of just going, no, this is bullshit. And citizens as well need to be able to look at it and decide whether they want to believe it.
Well, and saying, oh, we can't post it because it's from a hacked or leaked news source.
It wasn't hacked or leaked. Hunter Biden gave up his legitimacy ownership to that by not paying for the work done. This is very common in mechanics, like in workshops. And
IT places.
You don't pay your bill, man. You don't pay your bill in 90 days. Your property becomes our property.
It's basically abandoned at that point.
And yeah.
Whatever's on the drive is what's on the drive, right?
So. Exactly. I got to give it to this guy, man. Big balls. I mean,
well, apparently,
I hope there's nothing about Hillary Clinton on there. He's fucked.
Yeah. Well, we can get into this more with the Daily Wire article, because it's basically the same thing, but from the political side of, apparently they've been sitting on this for damn near a year. But
I don't know. They are a newspaper, so they are going to go for ratings.
Oh, no, and Giuliani's been sitting on it for a year.
October surprise for a while.
Yeah, there's that. So, but I think they're right. They call this election manipulation, or at least attempted. Because you're and I guess that's the problem, right? Is if Facebook and Twitter are going to say, you can't post this link because it doesn't meet our standards, whatever those standards are, aside from, with the obvious aside of it not being, horribly illegal, right? Like, okay, I don't expect Twitter or Facebook to allow somebody to post links to any kind of illegal pornography or, like, recruitment. Well, actually, kind of on the recruitment page. I was going to say terrorist recruitment pages, but actually, you should be allowed to post those so you can make fun of them and go on their sites and make sure that your profile picture is a Mortal Kombat character, because I thought that was fucking hilarious when you guys were doing that.
That's the first one I thought of too, man, the Islamic dating site.
Yeah, for those not in the know, the guys back in the day found a Muslim dating site, and most of those people don't hang out with the group anymore. I don't know what's happened to them. I guess they went and got a life. But they were posting to a Muslim dating site, and they were using pictures of, like, Scorpion and Sub-Zero as their profile pictures. And they were showing up in the feed. It was fucking hilarious. I mean, totally wrong and racist and everything else I'm supposed to denounce so I don't get put up against the wall. But it was still hilarious.
If anything, we enhanced their security, because after that little raid, they decided they need to verify all accounts being made.
For some reason.
It was a 48-hour delay after that, and we couldn't upload anything else. Because I had to verify and check each one of them.
But that's the thing. If you truly buy into the whole free speech idea, and I think that's part of my reason I get really upset at people who don't, is it's like, yeah, like when you look into the federated stuff, Mastodon and things like that, there are entire sets of servers that are banned from the main Mastodon networks because they're quote unquote free speech zones.
Yeah,
it's like, fucker, what do you think the internet was supposed to be? I mean, it's like, yes, if somebody is spouting bullshit and idiocy, let them do it so that everyone can see that they're idiots. Oh, well, they might influence somebody. Well, then
they're just
educate.
Influencing other idiots.
If somebody's dumb enough to fall for the bullshit, right?
Exactly.
But that's the sad part, is it's like, whether it's true or not doesn't matter. The fact that you're not allowing anyone to talk about it is scary.
Well, it makes them a publisher is the problem.
Yeah, now, they're just out and out, don't have Section 230 protection anymore, in my mind. They shouldn't.
And the issue with this is the reason they are monopolies is because of that protection.
Yep.
They were able to grow to such a mass that they control everything. And now, unless that protection is taken away, nothing can replace them. mean, Parler and Minds exist, but not very many people are on those because not very many people are on those. Everyone's already on Facebook. And if I want to network with people, I'll be on the place where there are people.
Well, I mean, that's why, you know, you see a lot of the guys like on YouTube who do the alternative things saying, oh, go, I post them here too. I post them there too, because it's the only way to get it out there is to use the existing ones to say, hey, we're moving to a new one.
And then they're still on the existing one as well to talk to people.
Yeah.
Well, I was watching a live show this morning, and they had to finish up on YouTube and switch over to Twitter. Twitch. For the simple fact, for the next subject they're talking about, would get them instantly banned. And it was just the debates they were going to.
See, that's ridiculous. Fucked up. You can't even talk about things. You know, I mean, you see it now on every YouTube channel. Oh, I can't use that word. That'll get me banned. I mean, fuck on.
I mean, really, I can't complain too much, because you can go to the other platform and then spout your stuff. You know, that's your laziness by not moving. You know, it's your audience's laziness, or they just don't give two fucks about your content, man. I've had that conversation before. Like, oh, I'm getting silenced because I have to be on BitChute now. My YouTube got canceled. Well, if your audience didn't come with you, they weren't really watching you for your shit, you know? But that's how it is.
I'm going to say this right here, right now. We've been saying this for years. If you truly want to be able to say whatever the hell you want, do what we did. Build your own platform.
Yep.
Buy a website, domain, build a website, figure out your technology. You want to post on YouTube and all these other sites? Do it, but post everything back to that main website. And by the way, host the domain name and the web hosting separately. Do not put them on the same account. Do not put them on the same company. Because if one of them decides, fuck you, I don't like your content, you've at least still got the other one and you have a way to keep things going. But, yeah. In fact, that's something I kind of get annoyed at, is when you see all these people who are only on YouTube or only on Twitch. It's like, domains are cheap. Buy a domain name, set up a quickie web page, even if it's nothing more than just a list of all of your platforms. So they're all in one place. So if somebody wants to go trolling through, oh, you're on Minds, let me go get to you on there. Oh, you're on this. That way they have a shot at finding your shit. Because that's the problem. Is there is so much noise. The signal to noise ratio on the internet is so low these days.
Yeah.
That,
I mean,
yeah.
But also, too, Morps, it comes down to, is your content good enough? It's not like you're being censored or anything like that. It's a simple fact that Jim never had a single sitting platform ever, but anywhere he went for a live show, man, instantly pulled 10,000 people. Didn't matter what the platform. So, yeah, if you're good enough, you can go anywhere.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Is, are you, if the only reason you have an audience is because the YouTube algorithm is pushing your audience to you, and that is a thing, by the way.
Yep.
I'm going to throw this out there. There's a YouTube channel called Legal Eagle. I don't much care for that YouTube channel, especially lately, because the dude's very political for somebody who claims to be doing law analysis. And his law analysis of the Trump tax returns was a fucking joke. Anyways, not that I'm a lawyer, but I then went and listened to several other lawyers who called him a fucking joke, so I can actually say that.
You might want to try Ricada Law, I think it is.
Yeah, that one.
He's good.
I was doing Viva Fry, and what was the other one I had up? Lawful Masses. Who, he's a little center left too, but he at least doesn't let it influence his analysis, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, YouTube likes Legal Eagle. So when I'm using the Amazon Fire Stick downstairs, like when I'm eating and shit,
Yep.
And I'll be watching something and just letting it play. I can't tell you the number of times that, because I have not willingly watched a Legal Eagle video in at least a year and a half, right? I watched a couple to see what he was about, decided I didn't like the guy, that was the end of the thing, right? Because it always shows up in the recommended feeds. But the autoplay, it literally went from a Ben Shapiro video that I was letting play in the background while I was working on one of my printers and not anywhere near the remote to go change it, you know, played the ad, fine, whatever, and then it starts playing a fucking Legal Eagle video. It's like you literally went from somebody who's right-leaning to somebody who's hard left on an autoplay. And okay, yeah, sure, politics might be a general category, but dude, come on. I can't tell you the number of times I've been just letting it go in the background and it starts playing one of his fucking videos. And again, I don't think anyone would... It's one of those channels that it's like, it must be so dependent on the algorithm that, yeah, if YouTube was to censor the guy, I don't think anybody would follow him to a different platform.
But I've noticed a lot of my right-leaning conversation piece on YouTube of just not showing up and recommended anymore.
No, they don't.
Like Jesse Lee Peterson, I like listening to him. He's a funny guy. I don't think he's always right, but he's interesting. The one you turned me on to, Madman, the black guy. I know that
Larry Elder?
Yeah, Larry Elder and...
Or Walter E. Williams?
Walter E. Williams. They were all in my recommended, man. All disappeared. No longer find videos like that.
What I find hilarious now, people needing to say, I don't agree with them on everything.
You shouldn't.
I can't think of somebody that I know or any talking head that I listen to or any politician, even the ones that I would crawl across broken glass to vote for, that I agree with everything on.
And then
some of the times when I agree with them, I think they're wrong because the way they got to the conclusion I think was wrong. I just agree with the conclusion.
I only say that because it's a public broadcasting and it's a caveat.
Yeah. Well, I just hear a lot of people say that now, even in direct conversations with people.
You shouldn't ever just accept what somebody tells you wholesale. You should be able to examine it. You should be able to think about it. And I guess part of what I'm getting at here is, okay, we're mentioning a lot of right-leaning stuff. And our group has gotten a little bit right-leaning lately. You know, we used to be... Actually, when I first joined up with the group, it was pretty left-leaning, but we've had so many people change out. But the back and forth is more important than one side winning at the end of the day. And I don't like it when somebody says you can't have the conversation.
No, neither do I.
When you can't have the discussion without having to cite every fucking source because somebody's decided, oh, you're on this side, therefore everything you're saying is a lie. When you're assuming motivations rather than just accepting that somebody might disagree with you. Rats is saying that he likes recommend John Haidt. He's leftist, but he gets into the psychology between liberal and conservative. Cool. If he's got good stuff, who cares?
That's it, man. He's got good stuff. I don't care.
And I think that's the point I'm trying to make is I know I end up leaning right a lot. I know Madman leans right harder than I do, but it doesn't matter because you should be able to at least talk about it. When you can't even talk about it, it's like, no, you must accept the dogma. Well, it's not that much farther to the fucking armbands and book burning.
And everyone loves that grape Kool-Aid.
Do we even need to do the Daily Wire story at this point? I'll read it.
We're 30. We're 30 minutes in. Might as well.
All right. From the Daily Wire, Twitter locks news orgs, U.S. officials, reporters, celebrities for sharing bombshell Biden story. Far leftist Far-left Twitter suspended accounts of news organizations, top U.S. officials, reporters, and celebrities for sharing bombshell story from the New York Post that alleged Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden met with the executive at Burisma, the U.K. gas company. U.K. Ukrainian. Got too far into it, didn't we? The Ukrainian gas company that his son, Hunter Biden, worked at while Joe Biden served in the Obama administration. Twitter's interference in the election comes despite the fact that Politico reported that the Biden campaign would not rule out the possibility that the former VP had some kind of informal interaction with the executives at Burisma. Twitter responded to the explosive story by suspending the Twitter accounts of the New York Post, officials in the Trump administration, reporters, and celebrities. Quote, the Post's primary Twitter account, at New York Post, has also been locked because of the Hunter Biden stories violate its rules against distribution of hacked material. Per email received from Twitter, New York Post business reporter Noah Manskar tweeted, Twitter says this was done because of the lack of authoritative reporting on materials in the Biden story or where the Biden story originated. Per the story, the emails came off a copy of a hard drive obtained by Rudy Giuliani. An original hard drive was left at a Delaware computer repair shop. And now that's the interesting question, is why did the repair shop call Rudy Giuliani and say, hey, I've got this hard drive? I mean, there's all kinds of political shenanigans here, right?
Oh, I already know why he did it.
Oh.
The dude was right-leaning, and he wanted to get it out. So the way you get it out is you find a famous right-leaning person that can get it out.
You say, hey, you're working with Trump. You're a lawyer. Here, have fun. But
yeah, I mean, if you wanted to get something out on Donald Trump, you're not going to call Rudy Giuliani. You're going to call anyone at the Young Turks. You're going to call up Chank Weegar and be like, Chank, dude, you wouldn't believe what I have. Can you come take it off my hands and internetize it for me? I want it everywhere, Chank.
Well, you want somebody with some credibility, so...
They went with Rudy Giuliani?
Well, fair point.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Mayor Rudy was good. Rudy is not Rudy anymore.
He's gone a little loopy. So this goes on. This brings in Project Veritas and other accounts getting blocked. Daily Caller, Breitbart, because, you know, they were all posting this New York Post story. The thing is, Twitter was using the excuse, oh, it's from a hacked source, which, one, I totally believe, because they said it was a MacBook. I totally believe that Hunter Biden had some assistant, you know, it's like, oh, fuck, I dropped it in the tub or whatever the story was, cracked the screen, shot it because they confused it for a clay pigeon, whatever. You know, take it to a computer repair shop, do whatever. And instead, the assistant went and bought them a new MacBook. They signed in their iCloud account, got all their data back, and then promptly forgot about the old hardware. And not having any clue of how computers work, didn't even think about old data living on that hard drive, let alone
go after stupidity.
It.
Well, it should have been encrypted to start with, considering your father is 2IC. Okay.
Yeah.
Like from what I understand, some more stuff coming out today, especially on search history at weird times in the mornings, like in the early AMs of the word underage and child.
Oh, for God's sake, really?
Yeah.
I mean, we already know the dude had drug problems, and apparently there were photos of him, like, posing with crack pipes or something on that hard drive, too, so.
Oh, somebody did him dirty, man. He didn't take those photos himself. They're not selfies. Somebody else took all those photos. I hope for one to see more of them today.
I mean, I feel bad for the guy, because obviously...
Oh,
he's got problems, right? He's
got problems.
I do and
I don't, man. I do and I don't feel bad for him.
But at the same time, they've got so much fucking money, it is kind of like, well, it's like you've got that much money and you're going for crack? Really?
Money doesn't placate sadness, man. That's a man that's hurting deep down. You know?
It's like, yeah, but you know, when you've got the Burisma money, why aren't you going for the pure Colombian? Or, I mean, you know, something a little high class. I mean,
knocked up strippers, and he fucked his dead brother's wife. This man is not super classy. What do you think he's doing the crack, man?
Makes you wonder what goes down in Scranton. Okay,
yeah,
that's enough. Yeah, I need to get out of there because it's not going to get any better.
No, I'm just digging all for a guy. He's a deeply, deeply sad individual. But I mean, he lost his mother. He's lost his brother. His dad's clearly having cognitive issues. It doesn't dismiss his bad behavior, but someone really needs to step in and go, no, I'm sorry, no, Hunter, you can't do that.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't just, like, lock him in a basement until after the election. That's basically what they've done with the rest of Trump's family.
I mean,
you know, he's got the presentable ones he cares about, and then all the rest of them that all kind of just hid.
Yeah. I mean, do you really want to get on his bad side if you're in his family? Doesn't seem like a man who forgives very often.
Well, didn't they let his older brother die, like, alone in the hospital or something like that?
I don't know much about it, so I don't want to speculate.
Yeah.
I can speculate all I want on Hunter Biden for the simple fact I know a lot about it now with the emails and the photos.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, oh, it's not true. It's a conspiracy. Well, I think there's political shenanigans going on, but it's believable with all the shit that we know about what Biden's kid was up to.
Just because something is partisan doesn't mean it's a lie.
Two things can be true at once. Yeah.
That's why you should read a left-leaning source. They could be telling you the truth and going into more detail than a right-leaning source wants to go into, because it makes them look bad.
So
this doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's partisan.
I should get a thing that my family sent me earlier today. this is hyper-partisan, so if you don't want to hear a political joke, but you know, this was sent to me by my family earlier today. It was a story of old farmer went to see the doctor. And the doctor asked him what he thought of the campaign. You know, thought of going on, or let me get it up. I'll read it here word for word because I'm going to mess this up. 75-year-old VA farmer was at the doctor's office, and the doctor asked him about what his opinion was on the election and Joe Biden. The old farmer said, "Well, you know, Biden is a post turtle." And the doctor said, "What's a post turtle?" And the old man said, "When you're driving down a country road and you come across a fence with a turtle balanced on top, that's a post turtle." The doctor looked at him confused, so he explained, "You know he didn't get up there by himself. He doesn't belong up there. He doesn't know what to do while he's up there. They've elevated beyond his ability to function. And you just wonder, what kind of dumbass put him up there to begin with?"
I like that. I will attempt to use post-turtle more in my life now.
Yeah.
As an explanation of things.
If I use it at all, it will be used more in my life.
I mean, I hadn't heard of it either, but it's like, I have seen turtles on fence posts on the side of the road. So
it's a dick move, but
the turtle was already dead when I saw it. So it's like, at least I thought it was dead. Maybe it was asleep. It wasn't moving.
Fair enough.
But I have seen fence turtles before, but I didn't know to call it that. Oh, I see what you mean. Are you? Yeah. Somebody set him up.
Yeah. But, hey, it's a good distraction for me this week. This has been shit all week.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And now for something completely different. This is actually really fucking cool. Link to the photos. Are you... Yeah. I'll... Hang on. Let me copy the link for you. This was just sent to me. It's on an ephemeral source, but there you go. But yeah, somebody obviously sent them up. But okay, completely moving on. This is cool. VMware has released a version of ESXi, which, if you don't know, that's their main server virtualization platform that runs on ARM. Not only have they released a version of it that runs on ARM, they've released a version of it that runs on the Raspberry Pi 4. Now, they recommend the 8 gig version so you have any kind of RAM to work with, because ESXi is meant to be going on servers with, like, lots of RAM, like multiple hundreds of gigabytes of RAM. But you can download it, a preview version, for free, basically, and you can run ESXi on a Raspberry Pi. That's awesome. So from the link here, over the past several years, you've seen us demonstrate our virtualization technology on the ARM platform across several use cases, everything from running mission-critical workloads on a windmill to running on the SmartNIC to running on the AWS Graviton in the cloud. We realize that the resilient platform created for the data center can be equally valuable in non-traditional environments. We created a lot of exploratory discussions with customers and ARM Silicon Valley partners. We'd now like to give our customers the chance to evaluate the technology in their own environments. This evaluation program is for the enterprise architects who are considering the viability of virtualizing ARM workloads, for the test dev team looking for a way to spin up ARM environments, and for tinkerers who simply want to explore ESXi ARM in a small form factor edge environment. Interested to understand what features you find valuable and how you will want to deploy the technology. So if you go to their requirements tab, the list of machines they specifically support are like the Advantech workstation server, Lenovo Think System, HR330A and 350A boards, a Honeycomb board, and the Raspberry Pi 4B. And they recommend the 8 gig model. Apparently the 4 gig is the minimum, but they recommend the 8 gig. So you're not virtualizing x86, you are virtualizing ARM. So it's ARM on ARM. So you're having to run an ARM operating system within the guest OS. But this is a foundational technology for data centers. VMware is, if you run a data center, you probably run VMware in it. Yes, Windows has Hyper-V, and yes, there's KVM systems, but VMware is probably, I mean, outside of the cloud infrastructure, probably 75% of your major virtualization platform for a data center. And
this makes ARM data centers a lot more probable, or just more profitable?
Viable.
Viable?
Yeah, this makes them a lot more viable. Because it's not so much that virtualization is a necessity when it comes to ARM platforms, but the ARM Foundation was talking about 192-core CPU. Of course, VMware bought ARM. Or not VMware, NVIDIA bought ARM, and they're, of course, again, massively cored, simple CPUs, you know, when it comes to their GPU technology. Being able to run VMware on an ARM-based processor means a lot of your more traditional data center workloads are easier to translate off of x86 and onto ARM. And ARM itself is not a performance enhancement, but it is much more power efficient. So one of the conversations you get into when you're doing data center architecture is performance per watt, you know, performance per watt of electricity used. And for smaller data centers, that conversation almost never comes up because they're more concerned with just making shit work. But when you're running shit at scale, that actually starts to matter.
Yeah.
Not the same issues as Windows on ARM and Surface. So Rats is asking, how well does it work? This thing is hyper beta. This is like VMware threw it out and said, here, let us know how it works for you. This is not production ready. This is they're doing research, but they built the full ESXi stack on ARM. Now, the thing I find interesting is the actual requirement. They have their supported models here that they list, but the actual requirement is, I want to say, ARM Series 8 processor. I had it in one of the PDFs because, of course, I've downloaded this to play with. There's a lot more single board computers out there than just the Raspberry Pi that this will probably work on. I'm betting Orange Pi stuff, maybe the Tinker boards, you know, things that are really going to be interesting to see. So this is going to open up the idea of using ARM in the data center, just if nothing else for efficiency, but also, I know I've talked about this on the show before. X86 and Intel, the Intel-based instruction sets, yeah, they're the primary thing that everyone's using today to run data centers and workstations and laptops. They're not the future. They're not the long-term future. And the reason I say that is most of your interesting development is happening in the mobile space on tablets and phones and single board computers and the like. And x86 isn't going away anytime soon, but I do think you're going to see ARM eventually supplanted as the primary processor type, you know, the processor hierarchy, I should say.
Because more people will be doing things on the internet on their tablets and their smartphones rather than on a PC.
Well, not only that, but there's a major architectural difference between the two. And Intel's x86, and they licensed a lot of instruction sets from AMD for the 64-bit platforms. They are supersets of microcode and instructions. I'm trying to think of how best to explain this. Intel will give you a machine language instruction for nearly any function you can come up with. That's all that all these like SSE and MMX going back in the day, because back when they were actually advertising these things, you go on Linux and load it up, you'll see the 30 some odd different instruction sets that modern CPUs support. And each of these machine code instructions are, you know, they do certain things within the processor for moving data around or performing different kinds of math, that kind of thing. There's a term for it, but I'm forgetting exactly what it is because it's been a while since I've read up on this. But pretty much the way Intel and AMD by extension expanded the functionality of the processors was add more instructions to it. Right? And so they run what's called microcode. And this is where they'll have a hardware instruction that the operating system on your computer, when you're using it, will see. And then that gets executed in hardware, but it's running firmware that translates that instruction into how many actual hardware instructions it is to do it. So you'll have machine code instructions that might take multiple cycles to execute because it's actually doing something more complex under the hood, right? ARM chips are what's called a RISC architecture. They're reduced instruction set. So they'll have enough instructions to get work done, but if you're going to do something more complex, you have to chain those instructions together, and you have to do it as the programmer rather than the firmware of the processor doing that. So you have... this is a pretty oh god explanation. Okay, I've heard that before actually at work when I was explaining how SSL worked, and I was told, you know, that's pretty rare knowledge. I'm like, wait, what? You mean all the sysadmins don't know how this works? It's like, no, they don't. Good, pretty good. Okay, well, pretty much, because you're doing all of that at a higher level on the RISC processors, you have a lot more opportunity for optimization.
But your coders need to know a bit more.
Well,
they can't rely on the processor to pick it up
for them. Or the library that they're using to write their code can be optimized. So this is where you get into fun things like with engines and middleware and higher order languages, where you could optimize that middleware layer much better than you could on an Intel system to make it more power efficient. Right? Anyways, I'm laughing at something Rats just said in the IRC about somebody bragging about what they knew what they were doing, and then you ask them one detail and they fall to pieces. Yeah, I've seen that before too. That's always fun. But pretty much the RISC processors, because they're not running all this extra layer of firmware and microcode, have a lot more opportunity to be efficient. And because you're doing this at a higher level in the execution set, it's not even the operating system, it's the execution of your code on the processor, you can be a lot more direct, and your code is usually a lot more portable between systems. So if you go from an ARM7 to an ARM8, your code will probably run fine. Trying to go the other way, it's harder to say, but it's usually not as big a deal to move between. Just depends on whether or not, like, you're missing things like the OpenGL ES stuff or things like that. I've probably over-explained this to the point that it doesn't make sense anymore. But anyways, the fact that VMware put this out is fucking cool, and I hope people play with it. I think we've lost the plot. Have you guys got anything before we move on?
No, I'm good.
I'm sorry if I lost the plot there in my ramblings.
Oh, you're good. I was just reading Rats. Still hurts me that Android is largely JavaScript.
Yeah, good chunks of it actually are. I was going to say it's more Java than JavaScript, but they wrote so many web technologies on top of Java that a lot of the apps are JavaScript. He's right. Okay. So yeah, in the user space. Yeah. He's right about that. So this next one up is actually, RU sent me this one from nichegamer.com. Electronic Arts, Ubisoft, and more join the ADL to push social justice and combat right-wing extremism in gaming. Yay.
Name one left or right-leaning fucking game. They're video games. Link doesn't vote. He saves Zelda in whatever fucking game you're in. Lara Croft doesn't vote. Her boobs jiggle, and she shoots shit.
I thought her boobs were giant triangles and were very, very stiff, though I haven't played Tomb Raider in a very long time.
Oh. Go ahead. It immediately set me off.
Electronic Arts and other big gaming or tech companies have teamed up with the Anti-Defamation League to combat purported right-wing extremism and push social justice within gaming. Both EA and the ADL are pledging to fight right-wing extremism in gaming with a new proclamation via the German branch of EA and their PR director, Martin Lorbor, earlier this year. Electronic Arts Germany and the German government are teaming up with Good Gaming, Well Played Democracy, and Keinen Pixel de Fascism. I probably said that wrong. No pixels for fascists. Oh, Lord. To reportedly prevent gamers from being radicalized into neo-Nazis.
I know you said it and it makes no sense. I get that. I apologize for you having to read this. But anyone interested in looking into these three companies, it's an interesting little rabbit hole to who's actually paying for this and who these people are.
So are they going to ban Battlefield 1942.
Get them up against the wall.
It had Nazis in it. I do believe the Allies were fucking shooting them.
Well, according to this, you'd have to get rid of Hell Let Loose. Because you can play the Germans.
Oh, don't get rid of that game. I just bought it.
You buy Hell Let Loose. Awesome.
Well, you said the group was picking it up. I'm like, well, fuck, I'll pick it
up. I picked it up. The other people, I said, I hope the group picks it up. It's up to them. But anyway, pro tip, if you did pick it up, go into your settings and set your friend vision to 500 meters. It stops you killing your own people. But anyway.
Movement!
You know, if you haven't played yet, Morps, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
I have not. I bought it, let it install, and then immediately had an incident at work and had to deal with that, so I haven't had a chance to mess with it.
Yeah, this is completely ridiculous. You can't put your foot on the throat of the narrative of a story just because you want to perceive the world in some way where there is a Nazi under every fucking bed or some kid having a bit of Battlefield fun with his friends on the weekend. You know, he says a couple of words, says some gamer words.
Says some wordy dirts.
Yeah, this is not going to work. Just look into a little bit of Cyberpunk 2077? That game?
Yeah, that one's getting ready.
Yeah, that poor developer, man. Getting yelled at by the left and the right, and then, you know, the tranny's coming in, and he's like, I'm trying to make a fucking game. You know, just let me make a game. Like, they all want their representation shit. Like, it doesn't work. They're just going to destroy the big gaming houses, and I, for one, think this can be a good thing. Maybe gaming does need a reclamation like Hollywood's getting. I don't mean with the Me Too fucking movement or anything like that, but maybe take away some of the monopolies. Let's get some indie companies pushing some good stuff out again.
I wouldn't mind seeing gaming moving back to being a niche device.
No, it won't. Whoops.
You look at it's not going to happen. But
the simple fact, gaming was the only recession-proof industry in 2008. It's the only reason these people are fucking here in this industry. It's the only reason why Gamergate happened. It's because it's the only thing that made money during the great financial fuck-up. Gaming just went up and up and up in profit. And that's why you've got all these social fucking maggots coming in trying to latch on to the money, right? There was never Anita Sarkeesian or any of those fuck faces around before the Great Recession. They're only here for the money. They'll fuck it up and then they'll move on to the next thing after they fucked comic books up. They fucked Magic the Gathering up. They're going to fuck the gaming industry up too. And they'll fucking move on. It's just about trying to outlast these social fucking parasites that come along for the money.
Gaming was already woke. When you were playing Counter-Strike, did you care whether the dude on your team that you probably never saw because you're playing a computer... No, actually, Counter-Strike's old enough.
Only if they got on voice
existed.
Chat and I couldn't understand what they were saying.
But no one cared your skin color. No one cared your sexual orientation. We weren't hooking up. We were going to blow someone up. We were going to murder either cops or terrorists. It doesn't matter. Whatever team you were on. But
yeah,
it was an ultimate... leveling of the field. There was no class. There was no race. There was no sexual orientation. There was nothing that divided you because you were all there because you wanted to play Counter-Strike.
Well, it's like back in the day when we were all in Second Life. You looked like however the fuck you wanted to. Who cared? We all knew it didn't matter because it was a fucking digital doll that was walking around.
Yeah.
You know, whether you were walking around with, you know, looking like... you know, a perfect you know, like, you know, you'd see the people who'd obviously spent stupid amounts of money making their character look like, you know, a perfect sex idol or, you know, supermodel, or whether they were walking around in a half-assed modeled robot costume. I mean, whatever, right? It didn't fucking matter.
Hey, my avatar was beautiful.
Say what?
My avatar was beautiful.
I was actually talking about mine, but I mean, yeah, you had an interesting one too, now that I think about it. I liked the floating skull in a jar you had going on. That was cool.
That was my head.
Anyways.
Yeah, you're right, man. It was the great leveler.
Yeah, nobody fucking cared. As long as you could understand what they were saying, who cared?
These people are only here for the money. They're coming in under the guise of love and peace, man. Buy a gun.
You were in the niche that you wanted to be in. So if you weren't a first-person shooter, you wanted to play real-time strategies, you were there. Or if you were an MMO guy, you were there. There's... gamers were already inclusive. We didn't care what you looked like. We cared what game you wanted to play. And we segregated by the games we were playing.
And it helped if you were good at the game.
Oh, well. I'm assuming you're good.
I mean,
you're not as good as me because I'm fucking awesome. But
well, you don't want to be better than you if you're playing a first person.
Well, there's
shooter.
That.
You don't want to kill him. But, yeah, it was the great leveler, and there was no issue within the gamers as a whole. And now with these people coming along, they're finding issues where there are no issues. You know, it just fuck off and leave me alone.
Well, I mean, I always get a kick out of people who were losing their shit over the story in a video game. It's like, you do realize the story in most video games is not the point. It's to give you the excuse to grab the shotgun and go shoot the demons, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, why are there chainsaws on Mars? Because I wanted to decapitate Satan with a fucking chainsaw. That's why there are chainsaws on Mars, where trees do not exist.
I mean, they're not here to make the place better, no matter what they tell you. Maybe grin and bear it. They'll destroy it in 5 years. Like, once it's not profitable anymore, they're out of here.
But that's the problem. It's going to take a very long time for it not to be profitable.
Oh, it's already started.
Well, that's
seeing
why,
it.
That's why I'd like to see things like I mentioned at the start of the show, this Color Maximite 2, right? This thing is a love letter to the old school 8 and 16-bit computers where you had to know what the fuck you were doing, and 90% of your games came from somebody else who wrote it in the basement. And I kind of think that's where we need to go back to, is just people writing their own shit and putting it out there. And, you know, some big company wants to put out a AAA title. I mean, yeah, when they put out the next Doom game, I'm probably going to buy it and I'm probably going to play it. But it doesn't need to be...
The makers of Doom haven't been paused, man.
Well, that's true.
Like, you look at the last couple of Dooms, they have been just Doom. They've been good. Yeah, there's no bullshit in there.
I'm not buying anything, a Quest 2, I tell you that, the new headset.
What are they? They mixed up with this crap too?
No, it's the whole Facebook thing. We've talked about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm not, yeah.
But I've still got the Quest 1. I fully intend to hang on to it, but I'm, you know, right now I don't have the space for it. I'm hoping to remedy that, but I also intend to use it as the with the USB pass through or whatever it is, so you play the PC games on it. And I don't intend to participate that much in some of these new systems because it's just not interesting anymore. Like, you know, you used to really give a fuck about what Sega and Nintendo were doing. Nowadays, you know, oh, EA put out a new Modern Warfare or whatever. I don't fucking care.
Boy.
I got back into Borderlands for a bit with the following that. But you're right, I'm kind of falling back off on that again.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's all just Pac-Man.
I mean, look at me in 7 Days to Die, dude. That's a little indie game. And I'm, what, 4,000 hours into that game?
So, how are they going to be combating social justice warriors?
All right,
since we're actually on this story.
Let me finish reading this here, and you can just, you know, call audibles as you see necessary. When looking at the folks behind these groups, it becomes clear that this is a veiled attempt at stifling what their staff perceive as inappropriate in the gaming industry. Good Gaming is supported by the Amande Antonio Foundation, an activist group headed by former Stasi secret police informant Annette Kahan. Kahan got in trouble recently for sending brochures to German schools claiming a girl's family is right-wing if she wears dresses or does chores at home. I couldn't validate that. I started Googling it because this shit sounded too crazy. But I did validate that this woman actually was an informant for these German secret police back in the day. So it's like fuck. NoPixels current co-founders are both Pascal Wagner and Ariella Brandenburg, both proponents of the common myth that video games have widespread radicalization or right-wing problem, or that video games are exclusionary. Brandenburg noted recently that gamers are typically anti-diversity and right-wing, full of toxic nerd masculinity in their treehouses. Nerd masculinity?
You can't have the word nerd and masculinity in the same fucking sentence. It doesn't make sense.
You're mixing your stereotypes there, lady. Good Gaming notes that their goal is to analyze how, quote, right-wing alternative actors are increasingly trying to foment a misanthropic atmosphere on gaming platforms, unquote. It's worth noting many tech companies in the United States and elsewhere have already joined or established similar groups and projects. The nonprofit Games for Change revealed their advisory board recently and includes, once again, the Anti-Defamation League, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, and more. Their goal is to create a more diverse, inclusive, and positive online environment for youth, unquote, while also fighting, quote, hate speech and other forms of, quote, toxicity. They added, quote, no systemic work at scale has been done to understand, document, and synthesize anti-racism, anti-hate, and harassment, anti-toxicity, and pro-social efforts across gaming communities. This basically echoes the same mantra as No Pixels. What, they want me to stop calling people jackasses and, you know, saying get good to people in a game? Like, it's a fucking game. Everyone gets shit-talked.
You read a paragraph right then and said nothing. None of those words mean anything in the way they were used. It's just bullshit word salad.
Games for Change published their latest brochure, which suggests gaming culture is, quote, exclusionary and discriminatory, reproducing and encoding systems of bias and inequity that pervade society as a whole, unquote. Their goal, inequity? Okay, yeah, we'll give people shit for using a bullshit graphics card and being high-paying bastards, but that has nothing to do with who they are. I mean, come on.
Dude, I got congratulated for being running Second Life with the piece of shit I had. They're like, really? You're running it on that? How? You know, there's never no shit shaming or anything. It's like, my God, well done. You know?
Well, at some point it stops being funny and starts being impressive.
You know, it just... But there is none of this happening.
Yeah, when the Commodore's on the internet, no one's laughing that you're using a computer that old. They're clapping because you got it on the internet.
The network card to get the Commodore on the internet had more processing power than the Commodore, but we're not going to talk about that.
I mean, if you are giving people shit for old hardware and that, does it work?
Well,
then who cares?
Retro gaming is like the thing nowadays, right?
It's like I was watching an interview and a bloke had a headset from the 90s. And of course, everyone in chat is just hanging shit on this dude. But his mic sounded better than any motherfucker calling in for that entire show.
That's because he had a microphone that wasn't made in China for the cheapest amount possible from reject parts. It's probably made in Japan like a proper audio equipment. Go ahead, man.
I've been playing Overwatch quite a bit the last few days. I didn't know most of the people I played with most of the time I've been on. They're random pubs I'm getting thrown into to play the game. How the hell can I discriminate? How can anyone there discriminate? I don't know who they are. I don't know what race they are. It is just a bunch of people who decided, you know what would be cool? Getting some of the Halloween skins in Overwatch. Let's play some games.
There are people worth discriminating against in Overwatch. They're called Hanzo mains.
Yeah, but you don't know he's a Hanzo main until he clicks on Hanzo, and then you're in the fucking game, and you have a Hanzo on your team. You're like, what are you going to do? Oh, I know what you're going to do. You're going to fucking suck because you're Hanzo.
But this is judging them on their actions, not on who they are.
But this is, you aren't getting on mic and just letting fly with a fucking tirade because someone picked a character you don't like. Like, I've never heard that.
I'm actually referencing the story we did on Decking a couple of years ago where a teacher sent home a note saying they called someone a Hanzo main. We don't know what that means, but we think it was an insult.
I mean, most games, like especially big games, are getting like 50 players in a match at once. If you're new and you ask for some help, there's going to be someone's going to give you some help. Hell Let Loose is a very communication based game, and I've not heard anyone yelling at anyone for doing stupid shit.
I can't
like
think
maybe
of,
not redeploy there next time, you know.
I can't think of any MMO I've tried to play where I haven't seen people asking for help in the chat and seen tons of people giving them answers.
Yeah. So these people are only here for money. They're only here to fuck it up.
Well, they
don't
just want
buy
to impose
their,
politics into yet another thing.
Yeah, and vote with your wallet, people, because I will be.
Speaking of,
I won't be playing Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Speaking of voting with your wallet, I've got one last story for tonight. It's from sfgate.com. Yelp says it will mark pages of businesses accused of racist conduct. Given Yelp's track record, how do you think they're going to be judging whether you're racist or not?
Give me the fucking money. Give me the fucking money.
Oh,
I see
you haven't paid the anti-racism fee to Yelp.com. Yeah, we're going to have to leave that flag on your site.
It just makes me think of Goodfellas, the movie, you know? Yeah. You're having a bad month in business? Fuck you, pay me. You know, small fire in the kitchen? Fuck you, pay me. That's what it is. This is nothing but mafioso fucking gangster muscling people for cash.
Yelp,
and
the
if you haven't seen Goodfellas, you should go watch Goodfellas.
Yelp, the local search and review site, said it would post alerts on the pages of businesses where customers or employees had reported incidents of racism. The latest attempt by a U.S. company to introduce a tougher response system to confront discrimination after police killing of George Floyd in May. The company, which offers a platform for users to rate places like restaurants, small businesses, and popular tourist sites, said in a statement Thursday that it would use a, quote, business accused of racist behavior, unquote, alert, where there was resounding evidence that a business owner or employee had taken racist actions, including the use of racist slurs or symbols. This alert will always link to a news article from a, quote, credible media outlet, unquote. Yelp said, without elaborating on which news organizations they consider to be credible or how it defined resounding evidence. Yelp's announcement raised questions about how the company will enforce the initiative, how it will ensure that businesses were not falsely associated with racism or the target of defamatory reviews, which can significantly damage a business. Companies like Google and Facebook have also grappled with difficult issues of moderating users on their online platforms. As the nation reckons with the issues of systemic racism, we've seen in the last few months that there's a clear need to warn consumers about businesses associated with egregious, racially charged actions to help people make more informed spending decisions, said the statement from Yelp, which is based in San Francisco. The company has already rolled out a lower-level public attention alert that flags businesses whose employees have been accused of racism or were the target of racist behavior. A team of moderators investigate a business if they see a flurry of user comments on the Yelp page, the statement said. Yelp's initiative aims to help its customers find businesses that align with their values. A factor of, I suppose that could tell you, if I guess if you were like a flaming racist, like, okay, that one's accused, let me go in that one. That one's accused, let me go in that one. I suppose this could really backfire.
I'm looking for a segregated restaurant in my area. Let's go to the Yelp band page.
We already said it all before we even read the article. Yeah, this is totally going to be, you have to pay how much to get that off your page? I mean...
Yeah. Fucking pay me. Having a bad month? Fucking pay me. This will go real well until it hits a courtroom when someone sues for interfering of business or something like that.
It's just plain old defamation.
Yeah.
So, how long do you think before every Popeyes in America is left?
I like Popeyes.
It is on the internet. Somebody is going to do this.
Oh, yeah. You bet the teams over there at the Hacker 4chan are working on something right now where this is going to blow up in their face spectacularly. Well,
that or they'll just have the bots go flag everything on Yelp as racist. Because when everything is racist, nothing is.
Oh, Papa Murphy's is the next one up.
Can't go to McDonald's now, can you?
What do you mean I got to pay for my food? Fucking racist. Bad review to Yelp.
You mean they ran out of chicken nuggets? What the fuck are you running out of chicken nuggets?
Yeah, this is stupid. It's like having a naming fucking competition open to the internet without verification. That's how you end up with Bodie McBoatface. Hey. And Hitler did nothing wrong high. They got a great basketball team this year.
Oh, things I should go clip out and put on the soundboard, but I'm not going to remember to do later.
Hey, I like that one, man. That was a good
joke.
The
only reason they went with Buddy McBoatface is it was in the top five and not as offensive as the other four.
I know, dude. That there actually was a high school that entered, like, the number one was Hitler did nothing wrong high.
But then they didn't honor the poll and do it.
Exactly. So, good luck. Good luck to every, if there is a small business left in the world after the China virus.
Oh, what was the best internet poll ever? Where should Taylor Swift go play?
Yes.
Guess what school won that?
It was the deaf school.
School for the deaf.
God, I love the internet. No matter how dark our future looks. You know, I'll be sitting there, you know, 10 years from now, because I'm not going to get much older than that, you know, and they'll be like, why are you smiling? Remember the internet, kids.
Back before it was banned?
Yeah.
Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a database that a group is keeping on GitHub. And that would be called the phishing database. They primarily intend this for filling out firewalls. They refresh it once a day. How many active phishing links? How many inactive phishing links? How many invalid phishing links do they have? So what you can do is, if you're running a firewall, of course, you can download these databases and use them to fill out your blog pages. Or if you're curious or just feel like fucking with these people, here's a link, a list of active phishing pages that you could, one, go figure out who the attack sites are and, say, email them. I actually do this when I do get phishing links, usually on my work addresses. I'll go figure out what website got hacked to make it, go email people, run it, and say, hey, by the way, you've got a compromise on your website. You might want to dig into it. Here's the URL. And I've gotten some interesting responses to that. One of which was hilarious. It was actually a guy accusing me of hacking his website because I let him know his website was hacked. It's like, no, I didn't do it. Here's the phishing email I got. You just might want to dig into it. And, you know, I've gotten a few thank you notes. And I've gotten one saying we've pulled our website offline. So it's like somebody really overreacted.
Yeah, I think you're scaring them, man.
But
people who aren't really adept at what they're doing, getting an email from a stranger going, look, man, your shit's compromised, may want to fix it. That's a little poop moment if they're not really.
It's like, hey, by the way. If you know.
Yeah.
But
especially if they've got no idea how to counteract it.
Yeah, you know, if they just paid somebody to set them up a WordPress page or something, it's usually what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, so if you want sites to go do quote-unquote research on, just be aware they are phishing sites. So, you know, use good VMs. Don't use any credentials or information you care about. And, oh, fuck it. I don't care if you fuck with these people. Go nuts. But the people running the GitHub repo, they're good people. They're keeping the database up. So, leave them alone. But, yeah. So, have fun with the phishing database. And then the last thing I have for you tonight is, again, something completely different. I came across this doing some 3D printing stuff. It's a web application called SculptGL, and it's web-based. So, in your browser, you get a 3D sculpting program for free that you get kind of the ball of clay thing, so you can do the ZBrush thing and actually create a model if you know what you're doing. I have not tried loading this up on a tablet or a phone to see how well that would work with the touch interface, but I have played with it some in the web browser, and it seems quite powerful if you're wanting to sculpt something to then, say, use in a video game or 3D asset or just something to print, which is, it'll export to STL, which is what I cared about for 3D printing. So if you wanted to try to make a... something out of it. I wouldn't try using this for like a CAD because I don't see any way to do measurement accurate models. But if you're trying to like sculpt a character or say figurine, minifigs or something like that to use for gaming, absolutely good way to go. And like I said, just runs right in the browser. So it's not like you have to go install Blender or anything. And it's actually not that hard to figure out how to use. So just play something to play with. And very quickly make horrible abominations in 3D by just playing around with the different tools and see what you come up with. It's like, yep, that's horrifying.
Is fucking powerful for an in-app browser.
Yeah, I thought you would appreciate that.
Yeah, dude, I'm fucking with it right. It's so easy to use.
And there's if you look on the right hand there, there's all kinds of different tools. So yeah. It's not just, you can... it's not just the brush. You've got inflate, print, and pinch, painting. The fact that the initial ball of clay is kind of flesh, flesh colored is a little disturbing. But you can really go to town with this thing.
This is cool, man. This is favorites.
So that's what I got for you tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit in the IRC tonight. Myself, Sardonyx, Cyberlard, Cykros, DPView, Heratz, Madman, and the Coffee Maker. Madman, closing thoughts.
I'm making Pac-Man.
Nobody's paying attention anymore. They're all playing with a 3D modeling thing. Are you closing thoughts?
Didn't mean to make it look like a Jew. Wow, this is great, man. I'm going to have fun with this all day. Yeah, good catch, man. Thank you.
All right. That's it. I'm just going to play noises now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Now just go nose down and call it a night.
Not that.
I'm a brain.
Shut up, Wesley.